Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Well, it's a great day. Isn't it a great day, folks? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Well, let's just rejoice and be glad in it. Let's rejoice and be glad in it together. Let's rejoice and be glad in it together. That's a good concept. Well, before we start rejoicing in the Word, understanding the Word maybe from a greater perspective, before we get into the subject of what cup do you hold in your hand, let's say some things that we usually say. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Let's do it in Spanish. Yo soy lo que palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Got to give yourselves a hand. I know it's a good thing. I hope everybody's practicing their positive affirmations. And you'll notice that as you continue doing your positive affirmations, the things that you decided to write down on a paper to change in your life, that your soul speaks out to you and says, hey, that one's fixed. Because you'll know as you're saying it that it's come to pass. And time tells that. Well, I'd like to talk about what cup has God placed in your hands. Every person has a cup from which they drink. And there are two primary cups provided to mankind from God. You've got righteousness on one hand, and you've got unrighteousness on the other. And so whenever you see the subject of drinking from a cup, biblically, you know it's going to be under one of those two categories. And I ask you, what cup has God placed in your hand? Every man, good or bad, is given a cup from which to drink. One for righteousness and one for unrighteousness. A table is set for both kinds of people. And on that table, you'll find a cup of blessings and a cup of sorrows. You'll find a cup of consolations and a cup of wrath. You'll find a cup of the Lord's right hand and a cup of devils. You'll find a cup of cold water from the Lord and a cup of wine of the fierceness of His wrath. And you'll find a cup of the New Testament in Christ's blood and a cup of the devil's desolation. You hold a cup in your hands. Turn to Matthew 26. Jesus held a cup too. God gave Jesus a cup from which to drink. A cup that was bitter and real. Jesus had to fulfill the Word of God and become our sacrifice. He had to die for us so that we could live. So bitter was the drink in Jesus' cup that he asked God to take it away from him if that were possible. Jesus was drinking from this cup when he prayed the prayer we're going to read. His soul already knew its taste. Matthew 26, verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Ladies and gentlemen, you all have your cup. Jesus had his, and every man has had theirs and will continue. You have your cup from which to drink. And that cup is changing. As you finish one, another one comes. In verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done. There are cups that the world offers, and there are cups that God offers. And God offers you cups of deliverance, of blessings, of His right hand, and from His right hand. And it's your responsibility to drink from those cups, whether they're sweet or whether they're bitter. And you'll find in your life that you'll have sweetness at one stage and you'll have bitterness at another. Jesus did. I don't think he had bitterness growing up, but I know that that cup was bitter at the end. And so you'll see this change in your own life. And you have the right to pray regarding the cup that you have before you today. You can ask God to take it away. And if it's His will that it goes, it goes. But if it's His will that it stays, it stays. And there's a reason. What is God's will for your life? Are you independently spiritual? Or are you a God-willing soul? Do you direct your own life, or do you allow God to direct your every step? Do you hold your life back from Christ's kingdom and all of its works, or do you allow your life to fit within God's total plan of salvation? Do you give yourself to God and His will completely? And without reservation, Jesus did. We are to follow His example of commitment and dedication to God's causes. Well, in John 18, Peter didn't quite understand that. Peter didn't want Jesus to keep drinking from that cup. It was just too much for Peter to bear. In fact, he even tried to stop Jesus drinking, but Jesus wouldn't let him. In verse 11 of John 18, then said Jesus unto Peter, pick up thy sword into thy sheath, or put it up. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Jesus knew, and you need to know. If God has given you a cup from which to drink, drink it. Don't avoid it. You'll get through it, but drink it. There's reasons behind it, maybe that you don't know. Jesus' cup was bitter. It was filled with sorrow. The sorrows of mankind came from that cup. Your sorrows and mine. The sorrows that take a man down came from that cup into Jesus' life so that we could live and be up. Up in the heavenlies where we belong. But if Jesus wouldn't have done that, we wouldn't have received any possibility of deliverance from those type of sorrows, from the true bitternesses that life can offer. Well, if Jesus had not drunken from that cup, we would be filled with bitterness and sorrow today. There is no doubt. What cup has God given you in the name of Christ? And this is the deciding factor, in the name of Christ, for the cause of Christ. Oh, you'll have your worldly cups, but I'm not talking about those. When I say God's giving you a cup, I'm talking about a cup for the cause of Christ, for the movement of God's word. Do you hold a cup of sorrow, a cup of bitterness, a cup of pain? Look into your cup today. And what does this cup hold? Is there tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword, death, life, or any other. Every cup given by God is given in the name of Christ. Every cup. Every cup that you hold from God is given in the name of Christ. Well, your entire life rests in God's hands. Every single second of it. Your drink some days may be sweet, and some days it may be bitter. All godly cups are provided to you so that the Word of God has free course, so that the Word of God can move. And you might have to endure pain today so that another can live, and the Word move yet a bit further. You may have to endure sorrow today so joy can come into another person's life. But every cup that you drink from, every godly cup, within it contains your own deliverance. It's never a recipe for disaster and destruction. It's always a recipe for blessings and life. So with it comes the circumstance and the ability to deal with that circumstance. Jesus was our example. And when he said, Father, let this pass if it may, if it be thy will, let it pass. But it didn't pass because it couldn't pass. And in the midst of all of that, Jesus got all the way through it. And out of that cup came death, his death. But out of that cup came life, our life. And so whatever cup it is that you have in the name of Christ, you can get through it. And you will see your life change, and it will impact other people's lives. That's the purpose of it. In the name of Christ, for the cause of Christ. Oh, we'd like to say, no cup for me. We'd like to say, I've had enough, thank you. No, no seconds. But you know, sometimes there may be seconds and even thirds. If the cup comes your way, you drink of it. And you drink of it understanding that you are fulfilling the causes of Christ. The causes of Christ's kingdom. And not only of that which is today, but of that which is to come. You are a part of a mighty structure, a mighty fortress. And yet within that system, you'll have to drink from a cup. And when you drink from that cup, there's something that you need to remember. That it's only a cup. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Do you have a cup of bitterness today? Are you suffering today? I tell you that this time will pass. You have been given the right to drink from the cup of Christ. And you are able to endure. In Mark chapter 10, verse 38, but Jesus said unto him, ye know not what you ask. Oh, they were quibbling about who was going to sit on his right hand and his left. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? He said that to his disciples, those about to be Christians. And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. And with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. And ladies and gentlemen, I say to you, you can too. No matter what drink you must taste today, you are and ever will continue to be comforted by God. You always have access to his cup. One that runs over with all of his abundance and goodness. His drink not only presents you with a variety of circumstances of which you must pass through for the cause of Christ, it also gives you the ability to get through them. Turn to Psalm 23. Oh, you might not like your cup, and you might say, Jerry, I understand Jesus had to go through that, but I've got my credit cards to get me through the situations I need, and I'd rather not have any more pressure than the bills. I'd rather not have any more pressure in life at all, in fact. So would you mind just maybe changing what you're saying a little bit? Would you mind not bringing up the cup thing? Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You all have your cup, and you know you do. You might fight it, and you might say, oh, woe is me, I wish it weren't. But it's there. And you must learn, as a Christian, to accept what God works in your life situations, and in those people around you. And anytime He ever asks you to drink of a cup, it's always for His glorification. It's always for the kingdom of that which is to come. And you will always be taken care of, even if it's unto death. I trust that none of you ever have to drink of a cup that issues forth in death. But Jesus did. And He did for us. The Bible says there's going to be martyrs. The Bible says that some will be slain in the name of Jesus. But I trust it's none of us. But I can't control that. And I won't try. But I would tell you that you must understand that any cup that comes your way is a cup in the name of Christ. And there's a divine purpose behind it. And you always will be able to get through it. And I know that from a Psalm 23, of which you are all familiar. Let's read together verses 4 through 6. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup, it says, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The cup that God gives to you is at times a cup of suffering, just like it was for Christ. But I want you to understand, it's only a cup. It's not a river. It's not a flood. It's not a storm. In Psalm 11, we find that there is such a thing, though, but not for us. I told you that there's two categories. You've got righteousness and you've got unrighteousness, or good and evil. And the table's set. Oh, it's prepared and the cups are filled and people have been drinking for years. But for the wicked, for the unrighteous, in Psalm 6, or 11, verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. You've got both situations at loggerheads. And God will never leave His people, even in the midst of a torrent of wrath. The enemies of the Lord shall drink of their own cup. Theirs is a cup which your lips shall never touch. Their cup, though, is more than a cup. It's a violent rainstorm of incredible snares. It's a hailing of intense fire and brimstone. It's a tempest of the worst sort, nothing short of terrible. And they shall all be forced to drink of it. none shall escape. And God will do this for you because He loves you and because you are righteous. God never takes His eyes off of you, no matter what cup you hold in your hand. Psalm 75. Psalm 75 in verse 8. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture. Mixture. There's a lot of things mixed into that wine. And he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, that's the gnarly stuff in the bottom. Okay? All the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. God only has two cup perspectives, folks. The cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Righteousness, unrighteousness, good, evil. And they're completely separated. Even if it's coming out of the same mixture, your lips won't touch any of the bad, ever. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In case you don't believe me on that, in case you've had a little bit too much religion, where you've gotten a little bit of that fire and brimstone, even though you ought not have, just in case, I'd like you to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You just can't do it. Now, I know what you're saying, Jerry. You don't know how bad I've been. Jerry, if I took the time to tell you about my past, you would never read that verse again. And I'm saying to you, yes, I will. Because I'm going to attempt to change your perspective. I want you to understand that your view is so finite and so limited, but God's is all-encompassing. And God says, you can't do both. You're either at the Lord's table or you're at the devil's table, and that's it. But Jerry, what about when I... Listen, son. Listen, friend. You've got to understand, from a spiritual perspective, if you're born again, if you've got that Spirit of Christ within, you could never be at the devil's table. You just can't. No matter how bad you think you were, are, or might be, you can never sit at the devil's table once you're born again. You just can't. Take that one to the bank. Take it to Starbucks. Tell them to pour you a cup of that one. You can only drink out of one. And Psalm 116, I love it. This is your positive affirmation for your cup. This is what you say to yourself when the devil says, come sit at my table. Because you do have a choice on cups. To an extent, if God says, son, daughter, take this cup, then you take it. But if the devil comes and says, take this cup, you have a choice. And you must choose. Oh, you can try sitting at the devil's table, but you're not going to like it. And it's going to hurt you. But you do have a choice. And you must choose. But here's what I say in Psalm 116:13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That's what I will do. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did in the garden leading up to the crucifixion and then 40 days later the resurrection. That's what Jesus did. He called on the name of the Lord. He took the cup of salvation. Well, I'm not giving it up. Now I know I'm born again and I can't lose my seed within me, the seed of Christ. But I could lose my thoughts. I can lose my own direction depending on what I do with my mind. But I'm not going to give it up. And so I can say that too. I'll take the cup of salvation. I will call on the name of the Lord. Well, that's in any time. Whether it's trouble, whether it's no trouble. Any time of your life. No matter what your cup is. Do you have a cup of blessings today? Call on the name of the Lord. Shout hallelujahs if you'd like. Do you have a cup of sorrow today? I know some that do. Call on the name of the Lord. Your deliverance is nigh. You pass through this. And then you'll have another cup. Well, Ecclesiastes says it quite clearly. There is a season. There's a time for everything. You have a time of sorrow and a time of joy. A time of deliverance. You even have a time of life and a time of death. There's times for everything. They're all seasons. They're cups. They're things that come your way that you have to deal with, that you've got to drink. You know, it's a good thing that we have the rivers of living water flooding our souls. Because no matter what it is that's poured into your life, that river of living water will wash it clean. You just have to have the perseverance to stick with it. To do for the cause of Christ what you're called to do. To stand for the cause of Christ what you're asked to stand for. To live within the causes of Christ so that others could live. That's all you have to do. Oh, you have to take your mind off of yourself. Your every move affects somebody else. And you know that. You don't live in a vacuum. You're not alone. You can't just live independently. Even if you try to live independently, you're affecting the lives of others. So if you understand that your every move affects the lives of others, make every move count. Drink from the cup that's before you, that's in your hand, so that you can help another. Because it will. When you take of the cup that God has given you, it impacts another. Maybe many others. And remember, you're going to get through it. So take your cup today, gladly, freely, knowingly, resting God's confidence that yours is only a cup. But all in it is good. The beginning is good, the middle is good, and the end of the matter is good. Even when Jesus died for us, the end of the matter was good. Well, you say, well, Jerry, I'm not into dying. Well, I don't think he was either. But you know something? He said, thy will be done. And that's the difference between a Christ-like Christian and a worldly Christian. Thy will be done. Oh, but Jerry, don't we kind of decide our own lives? Well, you can. But my Bible also says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy steps. Well, if he's going to direct your steps, you better be doing his will. And so that's the difference between being a Christ-like Christian and a worldly Christian. Thy will be done. That's not patsy. That's not religious. Thy will be done. Well, I wouldn't slam Jesus' face with that for anything. When he said, thy will be done, he was saying, God, if you say I have to die, I'll die. That's what he said. That's what he said. When he gave that cup to the disciples, drink ye all of it, they said, they'll die. It was to the death. And it's always to the death for a committed one. I'm not saying I want you to die. You're not saying to me, do you want to die? But to me, that's the worst of the worst. Some people say, well, I'd just rather die than go through horrible things, because horrible things I don't want to go through. So they actually make death better than the horrible things they're going through, but I think that's wrong. Because I believe that God can get you through every situation, any situation, no matter what it is, he will deliver you. But death is not deliverance. Not for you. It's not a choice you get to make. If death ever came to your doorstep, it's not a choice you make. It's not something you ever play with. And if you've ever had tendencies to play with it, you must cast them as far as sin is from you, as far as the east is from the west. Because your cause is not to die for Christ. If it comes your way, so be it. But in the meantime, your cause is to live for Christ, to walk for Christ, to give for Christ. He has no hands but your hands. He has no feet but your feet. He has no body but your body on this earth. You are Christ on this earth. You stand for Christ on this earth. Death is never an option. It is a possibility, but it's not a possibility that you choose. You choose life. You choose the cup of life, the cup of blessing, because those belong to you. They're always on your table. You can always drink from the cup of blessing. You can always drink from the cup of the right hand of the Lord. You can always drink from the cup of consolation. You can always drink from the cup of God's abundance. Always. Because you always sit at the table of the Lord. But in the meantime, if another cup is passed your way, son, friend, daughter, I need you to drink of this cup today because there's a soul over there that needs to be saved. There's a situation over here that needs to be fixed. I need you to go through this today for me, and it might last a week or two. But it's going to be over with. But then you drink that cup. And no man knows what they're going to be except when it shows up. You might have to wait for a cup like that. You might not. You might be in the midst of a cup like that. You might not. You might have gone through cups like that. And you know what I'm talking about. But you know they pass. Jesus Christ lived an exemplary life. Beyond just any expectation. But he lived God's word. He was asked to do things that man will never have to do. You're not going to be asked to go get crucified for mankind. You're not going to go and be asked to be beat for 3 days beyond human recognition. You will not be asked to do that. You're not going to be asked to carry the sins of the world upon your shoulders. You won't be asked to do that. Jesus was, though. And he was the greatest example of learning how to get through and that you can get through any cup that comes your way. But yours is only a cup. It's never a flood. It's never a river. It's never a storm. It's only a cup. So when a cup comes your way, realize that pretty soon you're going to see the bottom of it as you finish it. And it will pass. It will pass. The bad cup, the cup of evil, is filled with God's fury and wrath. Its floods carry upon them trembling, astonishment, sorrow, and desolation. God's indignation poured from this cup of devils is colored with the colors of the wine of the wrath of God. Its flow is strong, as if it were a very strong wine, tasting like the fierceness of God's wrath. It is a cup of cursing from God. The good cup is extended to you. It's filled with salvation and consolation. It's extended to you by the right hand of God. It is filled with blessings and appears like cold water flowing from the fountain of your Savior Christ. It comes to you in the name of Christ because your cup holds within it the New Testament in Christ's blood. No matter what challenges you drink in today, your cup is a cup of blessings from the Lord.